aspects of salvation that just keeps growing more every day. I thank the Lord for God's grace. Aren't you glad that God's got plenty of grace for each and every one of us? And I've used up a lot of God's grace. Why? Because I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. And not only that, we live by the grace of God. I could understand, you know, for a long time that God forgave my sins by grace, but then you begin to live by grace, and He continuously forgives you every day. We fall short. But God's grace is so much greater than our sins, and I thank Him for that. And I got us to thinking about old Peter, and I've been saturating my mind with old Peter and First Peter and how his life and what he had done for the Lord. But you know, old Peter was backslidden on the Lord at one time. He was a man, was one of the 12 disciples. He was a man that was one of the inner circles. Peter, James, and John, he's mentioned many times. And even old Peter had backslidden on the Lord. I wonder if any of us in here have ever backslidden on the Lord. I don't know. Have anybody ever backslidden on the Lord? You know, a lot of time when people, when I preach, people always think I'm preaching somebody that's not here, but I'm preaching somebody that's here, and that's me. You think it's possible we're here tonight, and on Wednesday night we thank you, Lord, for this church and Pleasant Hill, but you know, we were here tonight, and the ones that's here tonight is very faithful members of our church, and then on Sunday night and Sunday school, and just the ones here, we appreciate it. But is it possible for the ones that's faithful that come to church on a regular basis as you do, is it possible for us to backslide while we come to church all the time? You know, Peter, you know, he was with the Lord in His presence all the time. And it's just like being like us. We come to church at every time that we can. The doors are open if it's possible. And old Peter done that same thing as with the Lord everywhere the Lord went. Saw all the miracles. You're aware of the miracles of God. But yet old Peter, through all that, he backslid on the Lord even while he was in the midst of the Lord. Is it possible for me? Yes. Is it possible for you? Yes. Even while we're going to church and even while we feel like what we can do and even while we're faithful. You know, we have to be very careful because, you see, we will backslide. So I just ask the Lord to forgive me when I have. And looking back in my life and you know, I just have the joy of knowing that I've been forgiven of the past sins and the present sins and also in the future sins. But I want to thank the Lord. So Peter, we use him for an example now. As I said, I've been studying him for a good while now, how he had backslid on the Lord. In the verse of Scripture tonight, in this Mark chapter 14, we know the story about old Peter and how that Jesus Christ said he must go to the cross. And old Peter says, "No, Lord, you don't need to do that." And, "Yeah, I must go, Peter." And we know that Peter kept on talking to the Lord. And, you know, everybody else is going to might betray him. But Peter says, "You know, I won't betray you. Let everybody else betray you, but I won't betray you." You know what he told him? He says, "You know, Peter, the old rooster crew, twice, you'll deny me three times." "No, not me, Lord." You know, it might be some of us tonight. It might be you. It might be I be. And if any time, if the Lord would ever would have give up on anybody, one of his children especially, I believe it would have been old Peter that time when he denied him so many times, three times. The Lord don't never give up on us, does he? Woo-wee. Man, I'm proud he don't. I'm proud he don't. So let's read these verses of scriptures in Mark chapter 14, verse 66 through 72. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maidens of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, 'And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied, saying, 'I know not, neither understood I what thou sayest.' And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maiden saw him again, and began to say unto them that stood by, 'This is one of them.' And he denied it again. And a little after, there stood by and said again to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.' But again, he cursed and he swore, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the words that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness. We want to thank you for the mercy and especially the grace of each day. Lord, just for this day, God, that you give us, and we want to thank you for this congregation of people. And Father, we want to thank you for realizing that, Lord, we just dust. We made out of clay. And so many times, I really do believe that we all fail you, Father. I'm speaking for myself, as I know that I fail you so many times. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that even though we do, that, Father, you have the power to forgive us and set us back up, and you never give up on us. So we want to thank you for that tonight. And Father, as we pray for those who have already been called out the names, we want to thank you for each and each family is represented, oh God, and those loss of loved ones, again, to be with that family. We just pray that grace be upon each and every one of them, and those, Lord, that have been in the hospital, those that's going. We want to thank you this hour in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me by grace and restoring Peter by grace. And, you know, have you ever restored any of you? Have any of you ever backslidden on the Lord or backslid on the Lord, you know, or done things you shouldn't do? And Lord brought you back by the grace of God and by the mercy of God and restored you again. I'm just glad he didn't give up on Peter, and I'm just glad that he don't give up on me. You know, it's awful easy for us to look at someone else and, you know, put ourselves upside of them. But I tell you, we need to measure ourselves upside of Jesus Christ, and we'll find out we all come very short of the glory of God, that is Jesus Christ. Well, in Luke chapter 22, we find this same thing just about it, and what he said to Peter before then, in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 2 that I read on down. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that I knoweth me. He had already told him what he was going to do the second time in this Luke chapter 22, that what he was going to do. Not me, Lord, not me. But he says now, whenever you come back, and I bring you back by the grace of God, and I believe he's done every one of us that way many times. He's brought us back by the grace of God. And then when he does, he said, I want you to strengthen the brother. When you get back to you where you was at, I want you to strengthen your brother. What it really is, I want you to tell someone what I've done for you, and I want you to help someone else. So I believe many times that's what happens in our life, and we all are subject to go astray like a sheep, but when he brings us back, he expects us to help someone else. So Peter, after you are converted, well, he's already saved, but you know what? After the resurrection, you know, he met Peter on the island there of fishing. You remember I told you Sunday at Galilee, and he was cooking fish, and old Peter jumped out of a boat and swam to him. And that's when he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He said three times, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Well, Peter now, he remembered what the Lord had told him when he was feeding his sheep and when he told him to. But you find out that in verse 72 that I read in Mark 14, that after he had heard these things and after he had denied him three times, an old rooster crowed, that was a wake-up clock for him. You know, he said he went out and wept. He went out and wept. He says, you know, he wept bitterly. Have you ever wept for what you've done and God restored back to you? You ever cried over some of your sins and God forgive you for them and bring you back? You know, it's talking about even it's possible for us to backslide on the Lord, even while we come to church regularly, each and every one of us. You know, Christian life is like every other relationship. It never stays the same. All other relationships we have, in this world, we're continuously moving through this world. And our Christian relationship with Jesus Christ, it never stays the same. It's a process of changing each day. You're growing each day in the Lord. If you're not growing, you're falling. You see, it's just like our relationship and our marriage. There's always changing in marriage. Y'all know that, don't you, man? You first get married, you know, and then there's a process. And then what happens? A child comes along, and, you know, there's never the same from then on out. There's always changing in our relationship. Well, it is with Christians in relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going forward or either we backing up. It never stays the same. We're going forward, or either we're backing up. As I said, Peter was in this inner circle with Jesus Christ. And like I said, he'd be like us saying that we're coming to church every day. He was Jesus all the time. But you know, it was subject. He was subject to backslide on the Lord. And you know what? Me and you could be backsliding here tonight. Because you see, it was in his heart. It weren't what he had doing wrong before them. It's already building up into his heart. And it's possible to us, you know, that we could do the same thing. It weren't this outward thing that anybody could see, but it was an inward thing. And remember, he's standing before Jesus Christ. He says, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Although that many might forsake you, Lord, I won't never do that." We know what, we better be careful when we say we won't never do something. And we better be careful when we look at someone else and kind of measure ourselves upside down like we're pretty good, because we're subject to fail. And we might fail while, like I said, the ones that's here tonight, the faithful members of this church and faithful members of Jesus Christ can be backslidden in their heart and break fellowship with Jesus Christ. As I look at my own life, as I said, we need to be very careful that our heart's not stagnated and like it is and start a backslidden condition. And our relationship with Jesus Christ has not grown stale. So a lot of times that's when we need revival, and you may not even recognize it, that our relationship with Jesus Christ has grown stale. And it's so easy that, you know, we're around the things of God all the time, with the Bible and the people of God and the things of God, but you know it's still easy for even the people that's faithful to backslide on the Lord. In our heart, Peter was. I mean, are we any better than old Peter was? He was. Look at what Peter's seen and what walked with Jesus Christ. And you know what? He had it in his heart to backslide on the Lord. Yeah. So we see the reason for his backsliding. The reason, the same reason a lot of us, myself and a lot of us, we will backslide on the Lord, for the same reason that Peter did. Because one thing, it's this condition of our life, complacency. Well, that means just spiritual pride. Not me, Lord. Listen, a lot of times I don't need to listen to the preacher. Oh, there'd be a lot of things going on Wednesday night, other nights. You know, I don't need to listen to the Lord. You know, I don't need the preaching. Not me. I don't need to walk down that aisle and bow my head and pray whenever the time of invitation comes. Not me, Lord. It ain't me. I don't need to do that. It's not me that needs to rededicate my life. You know, it might be that fellow next on another pew or other people, but it'd be somebody else. Somebody that hadn't been here in a while, but not me, Lord. I come regular. I'm working. I'm serving the Lord all the time. I'm tithing. I'm giving. Not me, Lord. It's someone else. That's just spiritual pride. Because you see, you may be backslidden in your heart also. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Peter says, "Others, but not me. Let them do it." What in the world? That person, he needs to go down the aisle. He needs to get right with the Lord, but not me. It's not me that needs it. It's always someone else. "Let the man who thinketh he stands beware, lest he falls." We begin to brag about our spiritual condition, not us. It's a sign that we have complacency in our heart already and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not me. I don't need to go down that aisle. I don't need to pray for nobody. I'm in good shape. I'm in good shape with the Lord. I'm a regular member. I'm a regular church member. Not me. I don't need to do it. Not me. They don't. People don't come regular. They need it. But not us. Not us. We're faithful members. Not us. That's what Peter said. And then he had this old carnality in his heart. You know, the Bible says there's three kinds of people. The natural man, that's the person that's lost and never accepted Jesus Christ. And then there's the spiritual man, the person that's saved and accept Jesus Christ and really living for Jesus Christ and in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says there's a carnal man. Carnal means fleshly. Now, the Bible don't speak of a worldly Christian, but the Bible does speak of carnal Christians. Carnal Christians are worldly Christian. They saved, but they depend upon their flesh. That's what carnal means. It means flesh. They saved, but not living like they're saved. Well, Peter had this carnality. He was leaning on his flesh, as we will do ourselves so many times, and not the Spirit. When he said, Lord, I will never leave you. I won't never deny you, because he was dependent upon, you know what, his flesh. I won't do it. It's us tonight. But you see, we all have the tendency to backslide on the Lord. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that we could do it while we come in church regular and doing everything that, you know, that we think we're supposed to do? We could backslide on the Lord. Not me, Lord. Well, Peter was not praying. As you read the Bible, you'll find out in his life, you know, whenever Jesus Christ came to Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Peter wasn't praying like he ought to been praying. Are you praying like you ought to be praying? Are you really? Are you really reading as you ought to read and study your Bible? Are you walking with the Lord like you should be walking with the Lord? Matthew 14:37 says, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? He wasn't praying. He was asleep. He's asleep. Couldn't you just, I'm going to that garden to pray for this cup to pass from me. The agony of the cross of Calvary before me, and old Peter couldn't even stay awake and pray. You know, a lot of people is sleeping through church. Now, I'm not talking about physically sleep either. Some of them will fall asleep. I might be a boring preacher, but I'm not just talking about this church. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that sleep spiritually through this services. And they just say, they just don't hear the Word of God. It don't penetrate them. It just don't penetrate them. Then they make excuses for not being in service. I don't need it. Carnality. Peter had it. Complacency. This old spiritual pride. I won't do it. Then in this carnality, he leans upon the flesh and not me. I won't do it. But then cowardness. Cowardness. In Mark 14:54, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. When Jesus was being hauled off, Peter followed him from afar off. Why? He was a coward. He didn't want to be identified with Jesus Christ and with the church. You see, there's a lot of people won't come and won't be a member of a church because they don't want to be identified with Jesus Christ. They were a coward of what people might say. And they don't want to get excited about the things of God because people might call them a fanatic. They're too embarrassed when they go into a restaurant, bow their head into a restaurant and say grace over the food and rest because somebody might see them and think they're kind of a fanatic. Cowardness to serve Jesus Christ. Seemed like you, so it could be me, it could be you. Peter says, you know, all the rest of it might be, but I won't do it. Careful. And then the last thing we have is this convenience. Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my word, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into his own glory and his Father and of the holy angels. Convenience. We want to serve the Lord, but at our convenience. We will come, but at our convenience. If you don't believe this is true, let us call a special meeting of something. Maybe Brother Orville will call a meeting for the choir. Set a date for something. Different at regular church time. You know what you hear? That's a bad time. I'd like to, but boy, they something. You ought to made another day. Am I right? Well, old Peter was with the wrong crowd. This convenience is with a lot of people. You know, they'll serve the Lord, but with their convenience. They're not going to come regular. We the faithful people tonight, but there's some, they're not going to come regular. They'll come, but they don't want to be inconvenienced to coming. I mean, there may be something else on my schedule I want to do, and if I'm not too inconvenienced, then I might come. Peter with the wrong crowd. He's warmed by the wrong fire. When people and old Peter, when they begin to backslide, things become inconvenience for them, or the things of God. Did y'all know that? When people gets it in their heart, that's like old Peter. And when people gets it in their heart to backslide on the Lord, things of the Lord gets awful inconvenient for them. Inconvenient to serve the Lord. You'll find people, when they do that, they'll be start backsliding on the Lord. After a while, you know, they'll get too busy to come on Wednesday night, Sunday night. They'll get too busy. And sometimes they'll even stop coming to church because it's inconvenient to their schedule. I've heard all the excuses I believe in the world. And then you know what? When they stop coming, they'll stop tithing, stop giving. Hardly ever we receive a bunch of letters from people. We've got 400 members of our church, and we probably don't ever receive a bunch of letters to send their tithe in or to come or not, do they? You don't ever have that. I ain't ever seen that. Very, very few times people do that. When they stop, get too busy, it inconveniences them, they'll stop coming, they'll start serving, and they'll stop giving. Reason, Luke 22 and 34. 12 and 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You remember it all started in old Peter's heart. They don't give. I mean, there's a member of this church don't give a dime. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that does, because we couldn't do what we've done without it. But there's a lot of members that don't give anything. Why? Well, what the Bible tells us, you measure the temperature of your spirituality by the thermometer of your giving. Of your giving. You see, you stop serving, you have no time for the Lord. You're getting too busy. It's inconvenient for you. No time to teach. You know, you don't have time to study your Sunday school lesson, and you don't have time to sing. You don't have time to work in vacation Bible school. You get inconvenienced a lot of times. You see, once a year we have our nominating committee, and they go around and ask you to do a different one job. Well, if you can't find nobody else, I might do it. Inconvenience. There's teachers that used to teach Sunday school, but they're too inconvenient now to teach Sunday school. Too inconvenient for them to come on Wednesday night. Regularly, they got other things they need to do. Hard to find enough of people to do the jobs. Inconvenient. Oh, Peter was that away. You know, we're subject to that ourselves. But these results are backsliding, and we know we are all subject of doing that. What happens when a person backslides and he falls away? Well, one thing, you don't lose your salvation. Praise the Lord. You don't lose your salvation. Thank you. Romans 8 and 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Salvation is not based on our performance, but on God's promise. Thank you, Lord. That the gauge is not our performance, but it's God's promise to each and every one of us. Even though that I backslide on the Lord, I do not lose my salvation. And nobody else does. Any backslider, they have not lost their salvation. We just don't know who's backslidden and who's not. We don't know who's saved and who's lost. Because Jesus Christ on the cross took our punishment, and he took our place on the cross of Calvary. You know, in our country we have a law of double jeopardy. That means you can't be tried twice for the same crime. And the same thing with a Christian. You can't be tried twice with the same crime. You're saved one time, that's all it takes. In Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. After resurrection, Jesus says, go tell my disciples and old Peter that I love him. I'm looking forward to see him restore him. When we backslide, I'm going to tell you, God will restore us if we'll let him. We don't lose our salvation, and I tell you, we don't lose our relationship with him either. You sons of God, sons and daughters of God, in the family of God, a child of God, and that is your relationship to God. And when you backslide, you don't lose your relationship to God. You lose your fellowship And there's a difference in those two words. You don't lose your relationship. Relationship is our permanent position, and it never changes. Just like you have a child, and a child is born into your family, and it's always going to be your child. It never changes. Always going to be your child. Fellowship. Fellowship will change. It changes a lot of times. That's our current standing with Jesus Christ. Our fellowship, even as marriage, you know, a wife and husband, you see, as long as they remain married, that is their relationship is husband and wife. But you see, they might break fellowship, and a lot of times we break fellowship on our way to church sometimes, don't we? Me and Joyce has words on the way to church. Most of them is her words. No, but y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? And how about your child-parent relationship? That's a permanent relationship, but, you know, sometime with your kids, your children, won't they just get out of fellowship with you? They'll break that fellowship, but they don't break that relationship. I still love, but they'll have to go any further. They'll have to go any further. No condemnation. You don't lose your salvation. You don't lose your relationship with the Lord. But there's something else now. The consequences of our sin, of our backsliding, God will not shield you from your consequences of your sin of backsliding. When you get out of fellowship, you will lose something. You will lose your joy, as old David did. You lose your power. You lose your praise. You lose your witness. You lose your effectiveness. You lose your testimony. You lose your concern for lost people. You lose your tears for lost people. You lose a broken hearted for people. You will lose. There will be a consequences of our sin of backsliding. And the consequences is discipling us with discipline. You believe the Lord will discipline you? He will discipline you. Hebrews 12:7-8, it says, if you endure chastising, God deals with you as a son. For what son is he that the father chases not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then you are bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. Luke 22:61 says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. He remembered that, and how bitter it was for him. Whenever Jesus Christ turned and looked at Peter, and Peter saw his eyes, he says he fixed his eyes on Peter. It broke Peter's heart. It broke Peter's heart, and he said he wept bitterly. God will discipline you, but he will not punish you. He will discipline you, but he will not punish you. Punishment is retribution for something that you've done in the past. God does not do that because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. God's not punishing you. God will not punish you. Sin's going to take care of all that itself. That takes care of the past, no condemnation. Only he disciplined you to correct your present and your future. To correct your present and your future. He does not punish. A child of God is not punished by God because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He don't punish you, but he disciplines you for correction and reprove for the present time and for the future time. He disciplines you, chastises his child. No one can continuously be in the state of a backslidden condition without discipline. Hear me. You cannot stay in that state of backsliding condition without discipline if you are a child of God according to the Bible. And that discipline comes in a lot of different ways. We won't have time to go into that. But the last way it comes in is a sin unto death to the Christian. There's a sin unto death. Now, restoration from backsliding. Return, repent, and repeat. That's just like it is for revival. Return to the Lord, Jeremiah 3:22. Return, you backslidden children, and I will heal your backsliddenness. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Return. Return to what? Return to praying. Return to reading. Return to the altar. Return to the church. What is it that you need to return to? The thing that gives you joy to start, return back to it. There's no telling how far a child of God, and you and I don't know, how far a saved person can go away from the Lord. We don't know how, and it's different with each one of them. God deals each different with his children, how far that one can go away from the Lord. We don't know how far people are away from the Lord. But I can tell you one thing, by the word of God, you're only one step away from Jesus Christ at any time, no matter how far that you're in backslidden condition. You're only one step away from Jesus Christ. Because he's following close behind each and every one of us. Jesus Christ says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For a long time I used on scripture for somebody sick in the hospital and, you know, and people going through bereavement and different things. And it never dawned on me until the day, you know, that Jesus Christ said, even I be in your backslidden condition, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that beautiful? Even in your old sorry backslidden condition, old Peter, denied me. Three times, cussed. I don't know that man called Jesus Christ. Swear, but he says, I won't leave you nor forsake thee. It don't get any better than that. It just don't get any better than that. Isaiah says, with great mercy will I gather thee. Repent. You can't turn away from this backslidden condition. You can't turn to Jesus Christ without repenting. And I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of people think they can be saved without repentance, but they can't. You got to repent or you won't ever be saved. And it's the same thing to come back to the Lord after you're in this condition. If you don't repent, you're never going to come back. And you really need to know what repent really means. Change of mind and change of attitude. And then it says repeat. Now what you going to repeat? Boy, the joy that, you know, can you remember when you first got saved and the joy just overflowed your heart? And I want to tell you, serving the Lord, I mean, everything was so rosy. And, man, I tell you, couldn't read the Bible enough. Every time the doors was open, I mean, you couldn't do enough for the Lord. You just want to do anything you can do for the Lord. And it's so much joy, so much satisfaction in your heart. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Repeat the things that you once had to start with. You know, when I first got saved working at the railroad, I had me a little New Testament, and I started reading the Bible. I never read the Bible before. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know the Old and New Testament. I didn't know what they was talking about. But I started reading the little New Testament. Every time we'd stop for a break or whatever, I'd go and I'd pull that thing out and I'd read 2 or 3 verses, 4 or 5, whatever time to read it, where I went. I'd stop at the red light. I'd read the first 2 of scripture there where I went. And then there's some men at the railroad was godly men I know of, and they helped me with my walk with the Lord. But when they take a break, they didn't read their Bible. They didn't read their Bible. I didn't know why. I couldn't get enough of reading the Word of God. They didn't read theirs. But then after a period of years, I began where I don't read like I used to read. I don't read it. I read the New Testament every 6 weeks. I read every 6 weeks. I don't read it every 6 weeks anymore. Oh, the joy, you know what I have when I read. I can just about verse of scripture, I can tell you what page that it was on. I don't read like I used to. You know, if you want to repeat, you got to go back to the things that brought all that joy and all to your heart to start with. How about it tonight? Is it possible for us tonight, one of us, to be have a heart in a backslidden condition? Yes, it's possible for me and you or for anybody else in here. Because we're just made out of clay. Y'all realize that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I want to thank you, Lord, that God's grace is greater than our sins. And that ought to make you go home with a happy and a joyful feeling, know what Christ has done for you. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuously thing with every one of us. To realize that, you know, that we're subject to fall. We're subject to fail. And I'm going to tell you, we don't have to look around and say, look at that person over there, look at that other church member, or look at them. All I got to do is look at my own self. Just go to the mirror. You'll have all that you can do by looking in the mirror. I can tell you, that person in the mirror, I give you all that you need to do to get corrected, that one person. Not that other person, just that one person. Let's bow our head for just a moment. If anybody needs to pray at this time, anybody needs to come to the altar, anything you need to get right with the Lord. Gracious and merciful, set aside that the Lord, we know we're in your presence. And that grace and that mercy, Father, that we know in your precious word go beyond our sins and our shortcomings, so we all, Father, know that we fail so many times. Thank you for your promise of your word of God. All that so many people, Lord, around our community are sick with this terrible disease of cancer and other illnesses, Father. We just be praying for them this time that you might have your will and your way in their life, and they might be glorified in so many deaths. Father, we know, Lord, that you can bring life out of death. Each person, Father, and each family that we've called out for death in that family, Father, we just pray, God, that the Holy Spirit might speak to someone in that family, the relationship of that person that's passed away, that you might even use that death, Lord, to someone that finds Jesus Christ. Father, again, we want to thank you for this church and all the people, the Lord, the ones that's represented here this night, family members, loved ones, Father, those that may be in backslidden condition, a heart we might not be even recognize, but Father, you know each and every one of them. Father, you know our hearts and minds. We just want to ask you, Lord, to be with them in a special way and bring them back to the house of the Lord and the things of God before it's too late. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.